Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Shay
and Shah podcast. So what are we going to be doing today? What are we talking about? What we got going on?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I got distracted already. This is really bad. Okay.
We just be going off the rip, you guys. Like, no script.
Nothing.
No idea, nothing. We just hit record and start going for it.
Bro, and we gave ourselves... Wait, are we talking about in general, right? Because I was, like, thinking the other day, like, we literally just do whatever we want. Like, I asked her if she was okay with... I just asked her if she was okay with something. And I was thinking to myself, this is something we should have probably thought of, like, a long time ago. But
we're going to figure it out as we move on with this and get more into it.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Today, what brought this about? So I feel like among ourselves and our friends too, like, we always have conversations and we always have the most unpopular opinions. Maybe they're not unpopular. Maybe it's just among our friend group or amongst ourselves. But
we'd be debating.
Yeah, we always get into it arguing about one thing or another. So what we did is we each came up with like 4, 5, 6. Her, she came up with 10. Have different things that are controversial or unpopular when it comes to either any kind of relationship. So platonic, marriage, dating, whatever. Not dating stuff, but like,
courting.
But when you said dating, I said, oh.
Courting, sorry.
I didn't know she was like that. So we each came up with our own. I don't know what she has. She doesn't know which ones I have. Well, we did tell each other one of ours, but that's it. We don't know what the rest of our list looks like. So we're just going to share them. We'll go each one at a time, and then we'll talk about it for a little bit. So
I think you should go first.
Do you want me to start?
Please.
All right. So my first one pertains to Muslims and marriage. I think it is so silly when Muslims want to go for Hajj as their honeymoon. I think it's just it just sounds so silly to me. Like, I see it a lot on social media where people, like, romanticize, like, oh, for my honeymoon, I'm going to ask my husband to take me to Hajj. And it's like, you just got married. Hajj, you should be focused on Allah, on worship, everything. You're going to be worried about your husband. I think it's a really silly idea for a new couple to go to Hajj as a honeymoon. And I don't like that social media romanticizes it.
But what if, devil's advocate style for Allah?
But when the devil tell you to advocate for him,
don't laugh like that. That's not modest.
But what if,
I already forgot what I was going to say.
Stop the love.
What if the new couple, the newlyweds, what if Hajj for them, they're like, since it erases all of our past and we're starting this new chapter together, let's go to Hajj.
You can erase your past and then I have to Hajj, bro. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense. I feel like that's something, go like a year, 2 years later down the line, inshallah. Obviously, like, you don't know if you're gonna live or die, so I understand wanting to go as soon as possible, but the idea of it being like a honeymoon thing, like, we just got married and now we're pulling out to Hajj, is just I don't think it works.
That's valid, especially when you said you don't know if you're gonna live. Why wait till you get married?
Absolutely. 100%.
A lot of people wait to do things till they get married.
I agree. Or like when girls will like put like as their mahar like Hajj or Umrah, and I'm like, just go now if you can afford to. Like, why are you waiting for that?
That's valid. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
Yeah, that's my first one.
And then my first one was, if you seek to marry outside of your culture and you know it causes friction, I think that's a little... Like, let me explain, okay? I'm not against interracial, intercultural, I'm not against any of that. However, okay, I'm going to just use a Black person, for example, because usually we do have the most prejudice against us. Agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. That's what I think. True. But say you're not Black. Say you're like Arab, Desi, white, Mexican, it doesn't matter. And you know bringing a Black partner will cause
insurmountable
amounts of friction in your household, why would you then make it a goal for you to marry someone of that ethnicity because they're your preference, or race because that's your preference? I think that's selfish. I think that's what's the word,
not inconvenient.
I think it's selfish. I think it's not good. Basically, I forgot all the other words, but it's a selfish move because you're putting your partner in a position that they shouldn't be in the first place. Mm-hmm. Especially if you can find other people who will be your quote unquote soulmates, and they're from like a background that your family will more easily accept.
I agree.
So that's mine.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Like, I feel like when you're if you're in that situation where, like, you know, like, 100% my parents are not going to accept this person because they come from a different background or whatever, that's when you need to be as selfish as possible and be like, I'm just going to have to let them go. Because why would you put someone else through that? Like, imagine how that feels. Like, imagine you being in their shoes and how that feels, constantly trying to prove yourself for something that's not even, you didn't even get to choose.
You didn't.
Like, something you didn't have no say in. It makes no sense.
Yeah, like, whenever I see on social media, they'll be like, after 5 years, my parents
that said yes. That is sick. Those ones who be, like, begging the parents to come around, I'm not gonna beg someone's parents to like me because I'm Black. I'm sorry.
I refuse.
That's so crazy.
That's wild. I'm gone. Yeah. Like, no, even then, say the parents are fine, but you know, like, a close relative, like a grandparent or an aunt or something will not approve. That's still unnecessary headaches. Okay, your spouse is a grown adult. What about if you have kids?
Right.
You don't want to constantly be worried like, oh, my kids are at their racist grandma's house. Right. No.
No, I agree. I don't think that's what that's it. A really good one. I feel like it's a big issue within the Muslim community.
Right. Like, we know we want to be more inclusive of one another. Mm-hmm. But if marrying within your... If you really want to get married, and you know you can find someone who you'll approve of, your parents will approve of, and there won't be too much friction, why go out of your way to cause friction?
Yeah. Literally, why? I also think a lot of it stems from, like, this idea that people think, like, you gotta fight for love. And, like, me, I'm on the opposite. I think it should come easy. I feel like whatever Allah... And this is not to say that things in life won't be hard and, like, you won't have to work for some things 100%. But when it comes to stuff, it's like that, I think it should come easy. Like, it should be smooth. You should feel good. You should feel content. Like, Allah will make it easy for you. Yeah. So if it's, like, a constant battle, you're constantly fighting, like, that struggle could be an answer to your istikhara, that it is so hard for you to get married.
5 years?
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
That's a PhD.
That's more than a bachelor's.
Man! All right. What's your next one?
So, for my second one, it pertains to Muslim non-Muslim. Doesn't really matter. I think double dates are really silly. Like, why do I need to hang out with my friend's husband? Why do we all need to hang out in a big group? Especially if you're Muslim. I think it's so weird. I think it's so awkward. I think it's an interaction that just doesn't ever need to happen. Like, there's never a time where I'm like, I need to sit with you and your husband and my husband. We all need to be mingling and interacting with each other. I think it just opens doors for drama and issues and fitna.
Yeah, that's weird.
And it gives me the ick, yeah. It's so icky to me.
There are some people who get married and they're like, oh, my spouse has to mesh well with my friends. Why?
Does it matter?
Y'all don't need to interact with each other. I don't care if you hate each other.
No. It doesn't matter to me.
Why would you... What sort of relationship would you even be able to have with one another to hate each other?
Right.
Obviously, unless you guys, like, grew up together and you guys probably maybe had an issue in the past. I have no idea. But in what situations would you hate my partner, you know? Unless you know they mistreat me and I'm tripping. That's a different story. But like she said, there are some people who are literally like, let's meet your husband. Like, what's his favorite color? Like, what does he look like? Obviously not what his favorite color is. But they'll be like, let me see a picture of him.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. Like, that's never comment on, like, a man that is with one of my friends. Like, I don't care if he looks like King Kong. Like, if she's happy, I'm happy. I don't care. I genuinely do not.
That is true. Like, some people do be saying that. Like,
that's your business. Yeah. I don't need to know. I don't need to know him. I don't need to have a relationship with him. Like, more than being cordial, you don't need anything else. You know? And that's only because you'll probably be in each other's houses and stuff, visiting each other.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, if you're married, you invite your friend and her spouse over, but then the men go to another room and the women are in another space. Like, because growing up, that's how it always is. Like, the men would go down to the basement. My mom and the woman would stay upstairs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, the idea of, like, we're all sitting together or, like, doing a game night or something like that. X.
I think intermixing in general has been normalized for us. Which, obviously, in day-to-day life, you're going to be in, not cahoots, but you're going to be passing by.
Stop. Stop.
I might trip over my words.
Oh,
it's bad. But on day-to-day life, you're going to have to interact with men. And that's fine. Like, no one's saying don't do that because that's life. But if you're going to purposefully cultivate environments to which that can happen, that's weird.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, that was right.
Okay. My next one is going to be a friendship one. If you have a friend who enjoys gossip and backbiting, run. You literally realize how much more freeing and less burdensome. Let's Google if that's a word. You realize how much more freeing it is to not constantly be talking about someone.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my first experiences where my friendships or the people who I considered my friends, my first experiences where every time I hung out with them, there was like no gossip at all.
Mm-hmm.
No one's name was ever mentioned out of, no one was ever called out of their name. We never mentioned anyone to talk bad about them. Like, we just were in each other's presence. And it was the best feeling ever. And now, obviously, as a human being, you're going to have problems with people, right? Like, you're going to want to vent about someone. Like, say I have a problem with one of our friends. I'll come to my sister over here and be like, hey, you know, I have this problem where this person is doing this thing to me. And another way to avoid it potentially being gossip is maybe I have, like, this group of friends, right? And then I have this group of friends. What I would do is if I have a problem with someone from this group, I'll vent to someone else in a different group who would not even put the dots together on who it is, you know? So that way you really do avoid any situation where you would have to gossip or backbite.
Yeah. I think it's also about knowing, like, who to go to. Like, if I know maybe, like, you have a friend who's more prone to, like, gossiping and backbiting, I'm obviously not going to go to them to vent about someone else, you know? Like, I'd go to someone who's more, like, they have a stricter boundary when it comes to those kind of things. So, like, they'll understand that she's coming to me either just to vent or for advice, and that's it. Not because she wants to, like, bash this person.
That's a really good one.
My next one also has to do with friends. I think this is pretty unpopular, but I think as a Muslim, having non-Muslim friends just ain't it. I think there's nothing wrong with, like, being friendly with, like, your non-Muslim friend group, or, like, when I say friend, I mean, like, loosely being friends with them, like, here and there, acquaintances, like, you're cordial with them, you're cool with them, maybe you'll hang out once every blue moon. But I'm talking about, like, Muslims who have, like, their close friends are non-Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's never a good idea. Like, it's just not it. I think we tend to think that we're a lot stronger than we are, or that, like, it's okay, I can be friends with people who are non-Muslim, and it's okay, like, I won't fall into what they're doing and stuff like that. But we are not. We are very weak. And I think it's so easy to lose yourself when you're just surrounded by non-Muslim friends. Because at the end of the day, like, no matter how cool they are, no matter how understanding they are of Islam and of everything, they might know all the rules and you may be taught them everything. They even come to your house and say, salam alaikum, mashallah and inshallah and everything. Like, they're not going to hold you accountable the way that Muslim friends will. So I just feel like it's not, if you can help it, it's best to, like, try your best to find, like, a good Muslim friend, a good Muslim friend group.
Yeah. The if you can help it part is, like, really, really important, yeah, too. Because when you're in, like, high school, mm-hmm, middle school, elementary, a lot of people have friends from elementary who, yeah, aren't Muslim. In those situations, it's a little bit harder because, mm-hmm, your whole environment is non-Muslims, Muslims, yeah, everyone together. In college, you can be a little bit more selective if you go to college and outside, yeah, of that. But this one is really hard for me because I have a majority of my friends are Muslim, and the reasoning behind it was exactly what she said. Like, it was just more comforting. I didn't really ever have to explain myself.
Mm-hmm.
Educating people is nice, but I never ever had to, like, really explain myself. And wherever the nasiha comes from, I most of the time or all the time know that it's coming from an Islamic place, and that's so important. I think the hard part comes in to where I'm like, a majority of my friends are Muslim,
mm-hmm,
but then I have a few non-Muslim friends.
Mm-hmm.
And by a few, I mean, like, one and a half.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
and my dilemma is, like, because Islamically speaking, I always think about this. I'm like, if they die, I can't
to make dua for them. And that's like a really big part of friendships. Like, you're supposed to continue good deeds even when they're gone out of this dunya.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You said it's tough, but do it.
It's tough.
We get it together.
No, man. It is tough. It's hard. Because it's already hard, like, finding friends in general. And then on top of that, the added layer of being like, well, no, now they only have to be Muslim. It's not easy. But that's why you make dua to Allah to grant you, like, good companions and good people around you.
Exactly. And even your Muslim friends. Sometimes you gotta
be a little... Your Muslim friends aren't it either.
Like, I'm telling you, my biggest gossiping people were sometimes my Muslim friends that, alhamdulillah, they're not really in my life as much. But, yeah. It's kind of humid, not gonna lie to you.
It's hot out here.
Man.
But you know what's hotter? I'm just kidding.
Me?
Oh, no.
I wink.
That's not what I was gonna say.
Man, that right. baby kicked us out.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like,
cleared that room out so quick.
We packed up our stuff and left.
And when we left our bags, left our iPads, everything.
And when I left, he looked at me like this. I'm smirking. You can't tell, but I am. Okay. This one is a marriage one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again. We never prefaced this at the beginning of the video. None of us are married.
Don't listen to it. But we're both single, been single, never been married.
But it's also good to get a perspective from someone who isn't living the life.
True.
Because, you know,
because coaches don't play at the end of the day. So,
exactly. So, the only reason I have the gall to say this opinion is for the simple fact that I've seen other people experience this, and I've noticed it from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the elders in your family are sometimes not the best to advise you on your marital issues. They have too many biases, and some of them have very toxic views. That's what mine is. Like, from a young age, because I've seen a lot of people struggle in their marriage, unfortunately, subhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, sometimes when the elders come to intervene, it's more of like them trying to see what's going on, them telling you sabr, and them going home.
Right.
What did you solve?
Right.
I know some people think just saying have sabr is like the only answer, especially whenever people have like some serious marital issues. It's not like, oh, he forgot to unload the dishwasher or something. It's like serious things. Yeah. And they'll just be like, have sabr. No, like, give them genuine nasiha because you're not giving that to them. And so that's why I'm like, sometimes you're better off getting advice from someone you don't know,
100%.
Number one, because it gets rid of the biases a lot quicker. And it's better just to take out the older generation. Sometimes, not all the times, but I said sometimes your elders aren't the best to give you marital advice. Because a lot of them have stayed in their marriages enduring things that you and I would never want to endure.
Right.
That was mine.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think especially like the biases part is like, I can't imagine like being in that situation and like your spouse is bringing in their family or elders on their side. Like, I would feel cornered or like, you guys all ganging up against me. And not just that, but I don't know who said it or what I was watching, but, like, people always say, like, you should never involve your guys'. Obviously, there are some situations where you need that outside intervention, but, again, a third party is better. And if you, like, because when you involve a family member or something, like, you might move on, you might forgive them, like, you guys might be able to work through it, but they're always going to have that opinion of your spouse. So they're always going to look at your husband or look at your wife and be like, oh, I remember when this, that happened, X, Y, Z. And also, with all due respect, I feel like, I can only speak for myself, but, like, being East African, like, a lot of the elders in our community, like, they like to gossip and spread people's business. So it's like, you might be thinking you're confiding in old Khaltu over here.
She recorded you on WhatsApp.
You blasted on WhatsApp in the morning. Everyone's in your business now.
Stop it a lot. Like,
yeah, I think it's a huge generational difference. It's a cultural difference, too, because as much as we don't like to admit it, we're not gonna be, you know. We were raised outside of our respective countries, so that culture we don't really identify with that culture as much. But I think
I literally thought about it, because I was thinking, I was like, there have been so many times as a kid where I would see uncles, grandparents, whatever, people come and like give advice on anything, and they would just come chit chat and leave, And I'll be like, what y'all saw? Like, what y'all do? Like, for real, for real. Yeah. And if you're an elder related to me, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, and I didn't want to do it face-to-face. No confrontation, please. No.
My next unpopular opinion. We were actually talking about this the other, I don't know if you were there, but I was talking to my friends about this the other day. But I think, this is relating to marriage, I think a lot of divorces and marital issues could be avoided if we, as a community, stopped courting in secret. Something I noticed a lot of Muslims do is, like, especially with the girlies, I don't know why, like, we like to do, not a gender reveal, but a nikah reveal. Like, Muslim girlies just like to pop up, like, hey, I got married yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we kind of took away the community aspect of nikah. Like, there's a reason why, like, Islamically, it's, you're supposed to tell people, you know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to let people know, like, yeah, I'm getting married or about to get married or got married. Like, it's not something that's supposed to be done in secret. And I think a lot of issues arise because it's like, now you already married that person, but because no one knew, no one could tell you about the character of this person. Mm. And now you're already with them. Like, I don't know, me personally, you don't have to go shout from the rooftops and tell everyone, oh, I'm talking to someone, or someone came and talked to my dad, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I feel like just slowly, like, letting the people around you know, like, hey, I'm talking to this person, do you know them, et cetera, et cetera. I think courting should be, we really need to make it a more acceptable thing. Like, and I feel like a huge reason as to why people are afraid to announce, like, oh, like, hey, I'm courting this person or whatever, is, like, if it doesn't work out, we feel, like, embarrassed. Or, like, we think it's a shame or it's an embarrassment. Like, oh, it didn't work out with that person. But there is nothing wrong with that. Like, it should be a normal thing. Like, if you're, you know, you go with your family to an event and that person you're courting is along with you and your family, you're like, this is just what I'm courting. It's okay to, like, be out in public with your family and your mom and dad and siblings. You guys are all together. You know what I mean? It's just, like, I don't think it's something that should be done in secret anymore.
We're supposed to even ask around, but...
But even that is done in secret. They be on the down low, like, hey, do you know anything about this person? It's like, it's okay. Like, you could tell them, hey, I'm asking about this person because they're interested in my daughter. They're interested in my son or whatever. Like, and that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I relate to the secretive because it's embarrassing part. I don't know. Yeah. In my head, it's like...
You shouldn't be embarrassed, though. Like, it's such a normal thing.
Yeah. And also, I think it also varies depending on if you guys are from the same area or not.
True.
We don't want someone from our area.
Yeah, that's a problem. So my courting is going to have to be out loud, because if you're not from the same city as me, I don't know nothing about you.
We're about to take a trip to the city in our burqas and go to the masjid and be like, you seen so-and-so?
Like, you seen this person?
He's going to be like, how do you... Don't matter.
Don't worry about it. The skin has to be a secret.
You're right. That is being secret. I'll be like, that's about to be my husband, y'all. Do we do drugs?
Do we sell them?
All of that. That's a valid one. Yeah. I was there when you first said it, where you were saying you would want people to know, like, before you were actually gonna announce your nikah. That's a good one, because I think people in other, like, cities, because I have some friends in, like, Canada or whatever, and it seems like over there it's more acceptable for people to know that, oh, I once was getting to know this person, but now I'm gonna getting to know this person instead. So it just depends, but that's a really good one. I don't think people gonna stop.
They're not gonna stop, but
that's a good
opinion. We should normalize it.
I don't know if I'll stop. I could be talking to someone right now.
If y'all don't see her next week,
just know, because I'll be on my honeymoon. I need to stop laughing like that.
I'm gonna put, like, a bleep noise every time you laugh.
Please! I literally can't help.
Like a goat. I'm sorry, I'm so funny.
I do. I'll be bleeding.
Okay, what's your number four?
Wait, I'm thirsty. This one goes for both friendships and marriage, but if you were once friends with someone and you end up falling off with one another, I don't think you should take that as an opportunity to expose their shortcomings. And I say that because you once loved that person, okay? If their shortcoming is something, like, crazy, like, way left field, that you're like, no, like, someone in an authority, like, I need to tell the authorities, unless whatever their shortcoming is something that you gotta notify them, I don't think you should expose it. Because people, like, will be friends for a long time, or you'll be married. Like, once upon a time, you loved that person, right? Whether it was for 6 months, 6 years, 60 years, once upon a time, you loved that person. And so, why then would, once you're done being with one another, you want to make it your mission to make everyone be aware of their shortcomings, their business, things they confided in you? Those things are amana. If someone comes and confides in you, and you go out of your way to expose them, you literally just broke a trust. And I think it's corny. Like, you're trying to expose them, but you're exposing yourself.
That's true.
Like, literally, because if I knew you were once friends with someone, and now you're not, and you're now you're no longer friends, and you come to me and you're like, yeah, they used to do this, this, and this, I might not want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
But I might have to hold on to it, because I don't want you telling people my business. Send them, I ate 10 pieces in a sitting or something.
I agree with you, but okay, to play devil's advocate, what if the reason that that friend is telling you about the other friend is because they were a victim due to their shortcomings? Like, their shortcomings impacted that friend, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally. And that's why they're, like, venting about it, or they're talking with someone about it.
And did they end the friendship when they realized that it negatively impacted? Yes. Okay, that's different. Because you're like, I literally couldn't be friends with them because I realized they were working against you or doing some type of black magic. That's something that you need to make people aware of.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because, like, but the only thing I could think of is, like, if someone is trying to send it. Or maybe they stole something important.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's just, like, emotionally abusing you. Like, sometimes you could be emotionally abused by your friends in different ways.
I was like, explain the scenario to me, how it would work.
Can't explain it too much. Can't give away too much.
Oh, wait, it was personal? Oh, this is personal.
No, it was like someone I know.
In my ear.
Stop it a lot.
Gossip. I was testing y'all.
Yeah, no, like, sometimes it's just like, say I came to you, it was like, I stopped being with this person because of X reason, because it was affecting me in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their shortcoming wasn't just, like, they leave dirty clothes on the floor when I live with them.
Yeah.
It was, like, this person, like, something I see with, I don't want to say a lot, but some female friendships is where it's, like, she was very jealous of me that she would do things to bring me down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to, like, sabotage opportunities for me, or, like, she would go backbite about me to other people. Because she was envious of me or something.
Okay, so are you telling... Okay, so you're A, and then B is the friend you're no longer friends with, and C is the friend that you're telling why you're no longer friends with friend B. Are you saying what friend B did negatively impacted you and friend C, or only friend C, or only you?
Yeah, like both.
Both?
Like, you guys, something you guys both picked up.
Oh. But did you guys... Okay.
I
think that's different. Because if that was, like, you two deciding together, as long as y'all weren't sitting there slandering her name afterwards, if it's something you two experienced together, I think that's different from one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm thinking, like, one-on-one. Like, a husband and a wife are no longer together, or, like, two friends are no longer together. I'm like, at that point, unless, again, the thing that you're no longer associating with them is, like, something that you can report to the authorities, then it's like,
I agree. It's, I don't know, it's like that whole, like, not exposing the sins of your Muslim brothers and sisters is so, like, tricky to me, because it's like, where do you draw that line, though? Because respectfully, some people need to be exposed.
Yeah. Authorities.
Yeah.
Authorities, I'm telling you, if I find out you're doing something heinous, you're going to be dealt with. One way.
You will be dealt with.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a good one.
I'm up. So my last unpopular opinion.
Look, with your hijab, it's lifted, right?
Yeah. You see yourself? That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, whip it. So my last unpopular opinion applies both to marriage and friendships. But I think that no matter how close you are to someone, so whether it's your best friend, your husband, your wife, whatever, you should not share everything with them. I think especially with relationships, I see it happen a lot, is like people get married and then they start treating their spouse as everything. Like, they're your spouse, your friend, your mother, your brother, your sister, your daughter, everything. Like, you just expect everything from one single person. And I think that is so unhealthy. Like, I like the idea of having, there's certain things I would go to my spouse to, there's certain things I'd go to my friend to, certain things I'd go to my sister for, certain things I'd go to my parents for. Like, and I think you should keep these people in their respective categories, because it gets really, really messy when you start telling people everything. And also, not just that, but I think genuinely, sometimes we be telling people stuff that, like, that was meant for you in the law and nobody else. Yeah. Like, that was nobody else's business. Like, some things you just share with Allah and that is it. Like, even my cousin, who's one of my closest friends, like, we both have, like, this mutual agreement. I think that's why we have such a good friendship, is, like, we have this mutual agreement that, like, even though we are so, so close to each other, and we've been friends since we were kids, like, I don't tell her everything, and she doesn't tell me everything. And it works. Because not everything needs to be told, not everything needs to be shared. Some things just keep to yourself and tell.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know anyone who would want to disagree with that.
Because, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people think, like, when you're in love and when you're married and stuff, like, that person just has to know every single thing about you. And I just don't think that's true.
I think your spouse would know the most about you.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, that's the person who, if you're on life support, God forbid.
Yeah.
If you're on life support, they're the person who has to decide whether the plug is pulled or not, right?
Yeah. And so, notice that, it's like, you're with them, like, day in, day out. Like,
yeah,
you even now, like, we live at home, and, like, I'm not with my family day in and day out, because we all have such different schedules and stuff. But with your spouse, it's like, you guys are always together. Even if you work, or you work, or whatever, like, you're always together. So it's natural. But, I don't know, I just hear a lot of, like, horror stories of people realizing, like, dang, I told them a little too much,
mm-hmm.
and now I can't undo it.
I've definitely felt it with friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm very talkative. I don't know if you noticed. I'm very talkative, and there are sometimes I have a friend who sometimes when we're in situations together and I said something, I looked at her and I say I shouldn't have said that, and she'll be like, man, it wasn't that big of a deal, or she'll be like, yeah, but it's fine, it happened. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, sorry girl. But yeah, don't, your husband don't need to know everything. You're right.
He doesn't.
Some people do believe that there should be no secrets between a husband and wife. It's not even that it's secrets. It's just that it's unnecessary information.
Yeah. Like, if it doesn't apply, let it fly. You know?
Exactly.
But yeah, that was my last one.
That was a good one.
What is yours?
So picking my last one was a little bit difficult. But, So, one of them is, I hate people who make their marriage sound like a burden as a joke, where they'll be like, oh, the old ball and chain. And then too many people are individualistic in their relationships.
Those are both really good.
I'm going to say one because it's really quick, and the second one because it can be delved into deeper.
Mm-hmm.
The first one. People who get married and make their marriages sound like a burden. They'll be like, oh, the old ball and chain. I'm sorry. If my husband ever said that, I can't.
I'll fight him.
I'll fight him? Mm-hmm. I'm not fighting. I'm packing my bags. Because if I'm such a burden, because that's one thing. That's hate feeling. Right. Like, if I hear you say that, that would break my heart. Yeah. Like, what do you mean the old ball and chain? I'll let you do whatever you want because you can do it. You're free. Right.
I agree.
Because that's not funny. They'll be like, oh, the old wife is calling. Okay. Bye. That's mine. And then my actual last one is, too many people are individualistic in their relationships. And this is for platonic and marriage. If you think about it, people are so much into what can you do for me that what can I do for you is like, ugh, why would I want to do for you? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, oh, Islamically speaking, and just like speaking in general, relationships last a little bit better when you're considerate of others in general. It's like, we as human beings, we like being considerate, right? So that's why maybe some people are like individualistic, but like, imagine you made someone's day better because you did something for them that you knew they would love, right? Or say you sacrificed or kept your mouth shut about something or let your friend do something that you're like, I really didn't want to do this. I mean, obviously, as long as it's not compromising your akhira or anything like that. Like, say you wanted to go to, like, this restaurant, but your friend wanted that one, and you're like, okay, fine, we'll go to that one. You know, it's just little things that you got to think about. Some people are like, well, they didn't do that for me, and I just think they're toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's something I see a lot. I spend a lot of time reading that Muslim marriage subreddit. Because it's just crazy. It's like crazy stories. And I'm like, there's no way, like, this is the reality of Muslims in our community. But it is. And a lot of the a lot of the posts on there are about, like, how do I ensure my spouse is going to give me my rights? How do I make sure I get all my rights? My spouse isn't doing this. My spouse isn't doing that. And it's like, people are so focused on their rights, their rights, their rights. And I'm like, what happened? So when Allah said he created mawadda and rahma between you two, compassion and mercy, what happened to that? Like, you're already going in with the rights mindset. What happened to compassion? What happened to mercy? Like, you were saying, like, you're supposed to go into a relationship thinking, like, how can I give? And they're also coming in thinking, how can I give? So, like, you guys both win. Situation.
Yeah. It's a give-give relationship. 100%.
Yeah.
Not take-take, not give-take.
No, give, for give. Real. Yeah.
But that was my last thing.
That was a really good one.
Thank you. I took 5 minutes.
I'm just kidding. Thank you guys for listening to us share our unpopular or maybe popular opinions about relationships. I was going to let you say the comments.
No. I was letting you do it all, honey. I really was. If you have any, share it with us. It's always fun to hear what other people have to say. What other people think. Feedback is important.
Yeah. Or if you disagree or you agree with some of the ones we shared, let us know.
Better not disagree.
All right. Inshallah. Catch us next week at your local masjid.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.